feel like so many important people have gone downstairs. That's our children. Important, very important people our children are. But I am also very, very humbled and blessed to speak to all of you who are also very, very important people. And so I just thank God for the opportunity. I do appreciate our leadership having confidence that God's word will go forth on this morning. And we give God praise for that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, I want to thank you for being God and being God all by yourself. There is none beside thee, and we give our hearts and live for thee. Thank you, Lord God, that you incline your ear to us, that you will hear our cry, that we will cry out, Abba, Father, and know that you are a God willing and able, and have set your heart to see about each and every one of us. We are your children, and you are our King. We thank you now, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in thine sight. My Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. So, as Elder Vance said, before we stand here, we do always pray. We do always seek. We do always seek God, and we want to reflect His glory in the words that we share. We minister only through His Holy Spirit. It's not about me. It's not about any one of us that would stand here. It is about God. It is about God Almighty. And I thank God for what we heard during the Lord's table. If I heard the Lord saying anything, is that only He is worthy. Only Jesus, our Lord, is worthy. And in heaven and in earth and under the earth, He will be praised, glorified, because He is worthy of all honor and glory, power and dominion, forever and ever, now and to eternity. Our Lord God is worthy. I was watching a little television, and I'm telling you, these days you feel like you can't watch much television anymore. And I was watching The Family Feud. And I remember watching The Family Feud as a child. And I tell you, if you watch The Family Feud nowadays, it's not exactly PG. But an interesting question they posed, they polled 100, and in this case they polled 100 women. And they asked the question, what do women do now? What do more women do now than ever where they don't need the help of a man? What do women do now whereby they do not need the help of a man? And I'm telling you, you would be surprised at the top 4 and 5 answers that they had on the board. But I have to say that the question in and of itself poses a problem for those of us that understand God's plan. Woman was not created for man to help her. It's quite the opposite. Woman was created to help man glorify God. So that's how it goes. And so the question in and of itself, you know, kind of struck me. But then they said, of course, you know, woman can kind of go out and make her own money. And that's true. We praise God for that. Even the end of Proverbs tells us about a glorious woman who worked. That doesn't pose a problem for me. But then they talked about, well, I'm going to keep this PG, so I won't talk about all of it. But then they talked about raising children. And they said a woman can raise children without the help of a man. And I stand here as testimony of that. I was raised for the large majority of my adolescent, and even prior to that, my formidable years without a man. I didn't have a father. As a matter of fact, I don't know my father. But that does not mean for me that it is not God's plan that each and every one of us have a father. And through his family, the church, and also through his person, the Father, I know that I have one. And there is no woman that is supposed to do it, raise children, without a father's help. And it kind of brings me to what God is leading me to, is just a portion of Scripture that lets us know God's plan for the family. Specifically, mother and father's plan and relationship to children. And then you might say to yourself, well, I don't have children. I don't even plan to have children. You could be saying that. But the truth is that all of God's word is applicable to all of our lives. I should be concerned with what the word has to say about the poor man, as well as what it has to say about the rich man. I should know what it has to say to young folks, as well as I know what it says to the mature and the elderly among us. Every part of God's word and instruction to his creation and to his children should be important to all of us. And I find that that's true for a lot of folks in the world now. It's how we approach things. Well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm outside of that. But the truth of God's word is that if we know what it says to every part of the body, we know how to relate to one another in the body. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And there is nothing more important than what our pastor shared with us last week. We know that the Schweitzer family is on vacay, as they say it nowadays, on vacation, enjoying each other, and they are well do that. And we hope them safe travels and good times as they spend that time together. But what he shared with us last week was a message about truth and grace. And we really can't have truth without grace, nor grace without truth. And so what I hope to do today is bring a message that has some grace and some truth in it. Amen. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Judges in the Old Testament. Judges in the second chapter. Judges is a book that takes us into the lives of God's people after he delivers them and takes them to the promised land. It's a period between Moses, let's say, or the death of Joshua to the kings. It's that period between those periods of time, and it shows both God's mercy and truth. God's mercy and truth. And we will begin reading at the sixth verse. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, and that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, and Timnathheres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord hath said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. And so the Word of God here tells us several things, but I want to key in on the passage that says there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work which he had done for Israel. We have a generation, all of us, that we belong to. We are responsible in this generation for the next generation. The world would have you believe that every generation sort of sets a course for themselves. But that is against God's teaching, and that is against what we find here in the Word. The Word essentially says to me that they lived and obeyed God as long as righteous men and women lived. as long as righteous men and women lived, the people obeyed God. And the very first thing that tells me is that we, this generation, have a responsibility to keep God alive in the hearts of the people that live in the generation. As long as we live righteously, in faith, believing God, setting an example, then others will see and serve and believe our Lord God. And so the trouble that we're seeing says to me that perhaps, just maybe, there haven't been enough of people that believe and trust and have faith in our Lord God to serve as an example to this generation. To this generation that we're living in. We're going to get to revival in a second. But as long as we keep the Lord alive, it says, while Joshua lived, the people obeyed. While the elders that outlived Joshua lived, the people obeyed. His righteousness and faith extended to all of the people around them. That's quite opposite of what the church is doing these days. We're acquiescing. We're retreating. We're not standing. We're not proclaiming. And the problem in that is that God is so wonderful and so glorious and so marvelous. And he has done for us similar to what he did in this generation. He has brought each and every one of us out of a miry place and set us on solid ground. Turned us around, opened our eyes. We were once blind, but now we can see. And it is nobody but the Lord God in all of his truth and his mercy and his grace that made that possible. And so today in this generation, we should be living and proclaiming how good the Lord God is. Folks will taste and see just how wonderful God is if we show them the Lord God lives. That he is not dead, but that he lives. And as long as he lives in us. And while he lives in us, the people will see. And as they did in the day of Joshua, they will obey. They will believe. They will do according to God because of his marvelous works if they know them. If they know them. The word says there arose a generation after them who did not know the Lord God. Letting God go and letting the generation go, our children go, the way that they wish to go, it not only serves their ignorance, and I say ignorance in the broadest of terms, not a slanderous, evil way, but just in not knowing. It serves their not knowing, but it also serves their destruction. The Word of God tells us that there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is destruction. I want that to sink. It's nothing that's new to any one of us. But that is what we're experiencing. Destruction of family. destruction of community, destruction of the Word of God in the church even. And that leads to destruction for all of mankind. Destruction for God's promise in the world, in His creation, in man. If we don't keep God alive and teach and share and witness, be proud and be bold and courageous, as He told Joshua. He said, I will always be with you. There is really no need for any one of us to be afraid. Even in our singing this morning, we understand that God is always with us. So we must teach. And the problem with teaching, if there's any real challenge with folks even as they pursue God, is we often don't think the right way about God. We don't know Him for who He is. It says all of this generation that walked with Joshua, they had to have known the Lord God, that He had given His commandments. But somehow they managed not to take God seriously and didn't think of Him as being the God of all creation, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. A lot of folks, I think, these days, they want for God to come and manifest Himself in some wonderful, marvelous, miraculous way. Not that God has not already done that. Not that God did not already come and die and ascend with all power in His hand and then send in the person of the Holy Spirit an anointing that would fall upon each and every one of us if we just so desire. Not that God didn't perform miracles and raise the dead and heal the sick and feed the masses. God has already done enough. But God is still living, and we still think of Him in the wrong way. But if God were to come and do something miraculous, just speak to all of the people. Recall, even before we get here, how Moses was going to get the commandments. God had asked for all the people to come to the mountain. And when God spoke, the people trembled. When God spoke, the people were scared and afraid. And yet, this generation wants to hear from the Lord God. If He were to come, He would not come without judgment also. And so, I think the people should be happy to have God's grace in this day and age. Because He is a mighty and terrible God. You cannot look on Him and live. You have to be in Him to live. In Him to live. But they didn't take Him seriously. And they did not teach, nor did they learn of God. I want you to turn in your book now to Deuteronomy. Familiar passage, Deuteronomy 6. go to the left and we are at chapter 6, we will begin reading at the 4th verse. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And we're familiar with that, aren't we? Love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And we normally, even in our songs and hymns and in our worship, even in our prayer, we leave it right there. And the verse goes on to say, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I just love sometimes how God inspired man to write the word. He doesn't leave anything to our imagination, really. He doesn't allow us to get it wrong if we seek to get it right. In your house, and when you go out, and when you come in, and when you lie down, and when you get up in the morning, teach your children diligently. So he didn't just say teach them. He said teach them diligently. Teach them diligently. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." That means that when anybody crosses the threshold to your house, they ought to know that the Lord God lives there. Amen. And that you are prepared to share with and sup with and live with God, to lay down with Him and to wake up with Him. People should know. And He said, write it down. And put it as a frontlet between thine eyes. Do you know that the nation of Israel, they literally took that word and they wrote it and they covered it up in calfskin and they bear it round about their heads. That's how seriously they took the word. They took it seriously. But in some instances, they took it too literally. Too literally. What God is really telling us is keep it on the forefront. In all you're seeing, see the Word of God. In all that you see, see God's judgment. In all that you see, see God's grace. See my word. See my commandment. See. Let it be between thine eyes. When you walk forward, see my word. See my love. See my grace. See my mercy. See all that I am giving to you when I share with you the word and the commandment of God. It is my purpose for man. It is my purpose for life. It is my purpose for creating you to fellowship, to sup with, to live with, to be with you. This is my word of God. Flip to your left, Deuteronomy 4:9. The verse says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. There it is again. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Not only your sons and daughters, but your sons' sons. So you don't give up once you become a grandmother and grandfather. Your day is not done. Oh, I raised mine, and so now I can just poo-poo on the children and give them whatever they want, those grandbabies. Love them. Amen. God encourages you to love them. Love up on them. Love over them. Surround them with love. But you can't love your children if you do not teach them God's words. Amen. So he says right here in his word, teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Let's turn again to Deuteronomy, this time to the right, 11th chapter. 11th chapter of Deuteronomy. For the Lord thy God, in the 17th verse, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and love the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger. And it's a little bit of department from children, but what I want you to see is what I began with. We are all God's family. And whether you have children or not, the God that we serve doesn't respect person, which means that everyone he intends to bless and to care for and to love and to share with. And the teaching that we do, our witness, our testimony, our life, God has made it available to even the fatherless. Even the man or woman who had no father to teach them. Even the one that seemeth to walk around ignorant, doing foolish things, things we know that are against the Lord our God. We know that there are folks that are doing things against the Lord our God and His Word. But these are the strangers that God says loveth the stranger and giveth them food and raiment. Food. The bread. The word of God is food and good to eat. All of what God has in the spiritual realm manifests itself in the physical realm. You can see that in the lives of the Israelites and all that we see in the Old Testament. It is a sign of the new and the better and the greater covenant. But we saw what God was doing in heaven. We saw it in earth in the things that they did and manifest in the physical. And so what I'm saying is that if we give food to eat, that is what in the hierarchy of needs. Man needs food, but if you give them food, give them the Spirit of God also. Give them the truth. Give them the word. That is the thing that will sustain them when heaven and earth are gone. And only our souls, and we're face to face with our Lord and our King, our Judge. That is the thing that will sustain them. And because they are outside of your household, the stranger, it does not mean that they are to be without in God's word. God wants for all of us to share in His mighty and glorious grace and mercy and love. He is no respecter of person. The word of God says in Joel, you can find the word of God on every page. You can find God's word. You can see Jesus Christ, and you can see the blood. You can see the covenant. You can see the promise on every page of God's word. That's what it means to put it in the forefront of your head, is to see everything you do in school, on the job, certainly in your home, in your relationships, when you meet strangers. See God in everything you do. And in Joel, he says, for the children, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. So it's to repeat what we read in Deuteronomy. And he says it elsewhere in the word too. He says a man is blessed when he leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You find the theme over and over and over again. Because God is serious about it, and we should be too. And what inheritance is that? He's not talking about riches and homes and bank accounts. He is talking about the richness of God, His promise to His people. And if your children's children know the promise of God to His people, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. And that is to know the promise of God and not to be destroyed. Within the Christian community, the main link between what this generation knows and what the next generation knows is the link between parents, fathers, mothers, and children. It seems to be a mystery nowadays why man shouldn't be with man or woman with woman. And you will have some folks say, well, it's just a sin. Sin like any other sin. You sin, don't you? Well, of course, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That is His word, and that is the truth. You might be good most of the time, but sometimes you're not. So sometimes you're not. We want to get it right, but sometimes we don't. And the word says that every man is a lie and only God is true. But we wonder why can't we just love one another and so on and so forth? It's really because that's God's plan. To use family to carry forth the remnant into the next generation. And you can't have family, mother and father, if you don't have mother and father. If you have father and father, you cannot create a new generation. You can't do it. You simply can't. Now, with the multitude of people, people try to get around that. But that's why I say God's word to even the single among us, when he speaks to the family, it applies to you too. Because that's God's plan and that's God's purpose. That's God's intent. And so if you're messing with God's intentions, then you're crossing God. And it's no personal judgment that we don't agree with you. I don't have a hell to put you in or a hell to deliver you from, but God does. And God in his word says that he loves all the world. All the world, he loves the world. But what he has to do, that holy, holy, holy God, he has to judge sin. He has to do it. He has to judge sin. And so while we read in his word, it seems that he's judging his people. What he's really doing is he's judging sin. If he were to allow sin to exist and to grow and to rise, there would be no future generation. It is why we have the rainbow. He said, I will no longer just judge the entire earth. Not with water anyway. But he had to judge. Because if he didn't come in, if he didn't step in, we would have no new generation. We would not have the opportunity for revival if he doesn't stamp out sin. So it's not the person that we hate. The person we do love. We do love the stranger and the fatherless and the one that doesn't have the knowledge. We love them all. And the way we treat them should show them that we love them. But God does judge sin. It's not personal. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Amen. And so I want, in the last couple of minutes that we have, I want to raise up a couple of arguments that the world would give us as to why we're not supposed to teach our children the Word of God. First off, we have it right there in the Word. We just went through Deuteronomy and a few scriptures that says God wants us to teach not only our children, but our children's children. And that children to a new generation. God wants us to teach. And we find it in the New Testament too. The children approach Jesus Christ, wanting him to bless them. And the elders that were there, they were like, let's keep the children at bay. And he said, no. Let them come. For such is the kingdom of God. God intends for us to teach the children. We're not prejudicing them. We're not making up their mind. We're giving their mind what their mind needs. We're not prejudicing them. It's what the scripture asks us to do. If we don't teach our children, they learn from what we do. Kids learn from what they see and what they experience. If you don't think that so many are being turned away from God because that's what they're learning in their schools and in their communities, and it's absent in the homes, you're fooling yourself. The church now that is embracing leadership, even the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, that are embracing even in their leadership, and they're saying that we're being crass. No, we're just telling the truth, and that's it. Being willing to stand for the truth, being willing to stand for God, being willing to tell folks, the Lord God I serve is a holy God, and I want to be righteous. I want to believe on Him. I want to have faith in Him, that what He says is true, and He means it. And He means it for my life, and He means it for your life also. We also have to teach them, because what parent doesn't give their child the very best? It says that they went after other gods. What God is like unto our God? There is none. There is no God like unto our God. The scripture even says, Matthew, it says, what son having asked for bread, you would give them stone? Or having asked for a fish, you would give them a serpent? You wouldn't do it. It's foolish not to give your children the word of God. It's foolish. What does the word say about not knowing enough? Well, I don't know enough. I don't know the word. I don't know the commandments. I don't know. Well, then get in the word. It's never too late. It's never too late to seek God and His word. At any time, if any should ask, if He should knock and you open up, there is no time that God won't enter in and sup with you, love and forgive you, set you up, make you a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. That is our God. Humility. That's what it teaches you when you don't already know. Even standing here, I don't feel like I know all of God's mystery, all of God's word, how He formed the world, and all that we know. I don't know all of God's mystery, but I know His word. And I know His promise. And I know what He did for me. And I know that He walks with me. I know that He shows me things each and every day. I just have to look for them. I just have to be open to His word. God will teach you a lesson in humility if you're willing to allow him to. And that's what we teach our children when we say, I don't know, but let's stop and let's look for it. Let's stop. Let's open the book. Let's go to the library. Let's go to the computer. Let's find what God has to say about that question. And you have to humble yourself to know that you too have a father that you're willing to obey, that you're willing to follow. Let him be your guide. Let him be your example. Let him be your teacher. And as you learn, your children will learn too. Amen? Amen. I want to close now with one word in Proverbs. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, 24th verse, 25th verse. It says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy in him. Your father and your mother shall be glad, and she who bore you shall rejoice. That's a message to the young son or daughter. It's a message to them. If you read it closely, it says, your father and your mother shall be glad. They won't find that promise, however, if you don't take them there. They will never be inclined to open the Word of God if you don't impress upon them they need to do it. Gems are in this book. Promise is in this book. The revival for our next generation is in this book. And so as we close today, I just want us all to stand. All of us that have family, hold hands, bend hearts, and let us pray. Father, we bless you for your word of God, for his exceeding great riches, for his promise for our lives. We thank you, Lord, for loving us, for never forsaking us, for being faithful, ever so faithful to your people. We thank you, Lord God, that you sit high and you look low, and you intend for each and every one of us to be blessed and highly favored and used of God in our family, in our homes, in our community, in this nation even. Hide the word in our hearts that we might not sin against thee, O God. Write it on our hearts. When we call, Lord God, even as we see in your scripture, when we call and cry unto you, God, please answer. Please hear our prayer. Please hear our cry. Please hear our cry to you, our Lord and our God, and answer, Lord. Lift this very church of God to be your glory in the world, to be light and to be salt, to be loving, caring, and sharing to the fatherless, to the stranger, to the widow, to those who do not know your word. But let us, Lord God, let us be committed to sharing the word of God with our children. and living a life that is pleasing to you, Lord. That our praise, Lord God, be your habitation. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. And let all the church say amen and give praise and honor to the Lord our God.